We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Two down, two to go. Welcome into our third hour here of Sports Talk. Just coming down, Bucks defensive tackle Gerald McCoy is going to be released, according to reports. And that's something that everybody saw kind of coming. And here come the text messages in 3, 2, 1. Should the Saints make a run at him? Well, I think it's possible. Can they create space? They can always create cap space. They always do. And do you think Gerald McCoy would want to come here? And for what price? Maybe, just maybe, because he hasn't won squat in 9 years in Tampa Bay. The prospect of being on a winning team and playing in the playoffs might go a long way in terms of compensation. Veteran minimum? I'm not sure. I don't know if it's that kind of persuasion. But I think the Saints would be interested at the right price. As I think it always kind of comes with that whenever we talk about these veterans that were cut from one team or another because they were in a contract that the team didn't want and his skills are diminishing. And Gerald McCoy isn't the player he once was, but he can still play in the NFL. That's for sure. And help you and be a part of a D-line rotation that would include David Onyemata. Got Cam Jordan in that mix, Marcus Davenport, Mario Edwards Jr., Malcolm Brown. John in Metairie, what's going on, John? You're on WWL.
Hi, Christian. One thing I haven't heard too much about on Zion is what are his attributes on the court. Now, his high school coach mentioned about how well he can drive to the goal. But what else do we have with him? Is he a good defender? Is he a good passer? And maybe most important of all, can he shoot from beyond a three-point arc?
That's the part where he's got to improve a little bit. He's got to refine his game. But you remember now, Anthony Davis wasn't very well polished with an outside shot until later on in his career. Same thing with KD to a degree. And KD can shoot the lights out of anybody right out of the gym right now, but that's something that all those guys usually come into the league needing a little work on. But as far as a defender, he can do that. He can block shots. He's physical. He can also distribute a little bit. I mean, this is one heck of an athlete, John.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what this team really needs more than anything are shooters, guys who can shoot the basketball consistently. And I hope he can develop into that, as you said, as AD also did.
Yeah, look, is he a finished product? No. But he's really, really exciting to watch. John, what I would tell you is go back, just go on YouTube. Go check him out on YouTube. Go check out his highlights. You'll walk away going, whoa, did I just see that? I mean, he's that kind of talented.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you very much, Chris.
You bet, John.
Appreciate it.
Got a couple lines open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. If Anthony Davis doesn't want to stay in New Orleans, where would you trade him? Also, Zion Williamson's high school coach, Lee Sartor, earlier today on Sports Talk, said that Zion's a natural leader. Eventually, he will be the best player on the planet. It's online for you at WWL.com. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Justin and Harvey. What's going on, Justin? You're on WWL.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Justin.
Hey, man. Last caller was kind of questioning Zion's talent. Man, Zion is an excellent ball handler. I was watching a couple of his clips yesterday, and I also have been watching him this whole season. But he's an excellent ball handler. Excellent passer, and, amazing at finishing at the rim. And he can play defense. So you have, four big-time qualities that you need to survive in this league. Only thing that he hasn't got is, a good shot. Even though he's made a couple of threes this season, you know, it's not like he's a horrible shooter or anything like that. So I don't think, we should be worrying about, Zion, if he's going to make it or not.
I'm not worried about that, Justin. I'm not worried about that.
You know, so yeah.
I don't think the caller was. I don't think the caller was necessarily questioning his talent. They just maybe wanted to know a little bit more because we've been painting the picture. I guess we took it for granted, Justin, that everybody knew that Zion Williamson was immensely talented. But the big questions became: all right, let's learn more. Let's know more about the character, about who he is, how he ticks. What, you know, how is he wired?
Gotcha. And another thing, man, the Pelicans trade with AD. I think Boston would be the best place for AD to go. You get Jason Tatum, you get Brown. Both players are young. Both players are proven that they can like win in the league. You know, I just don't agree with all the draft picks because you don't know if they're going to pan out or not. You know, you don't want to like just get a whole bunch of draft picks and. Like, you know, they don't pan out and then we're left for like nothing. It's basically like we just gave AD away. So we at least need like two players that are proven in the league. I mean, that's just my opinion on it.
I'm with you because those draft picks are not necessarily a surefire thing. That's why I've contended that if you're going to trade AD, yes, you want to get an asset like a draft pick or two, but you got to get a guy that is a proven commodity in the NBA if you want to team him up with Zion Williamson and kind of help your rebuild move along a little faster.
Exactly. And then, you know, we get those three guys. Maybe we can attract a superstar with next year, 2 years or whatever, you know. So, yeah, that's about it. That's all it is.
Justin, thanks for the phone call.
Appreciate it.
All right. You know, I want to get something off my chest here because it bothers me almost every year. And I never really talk about it because, I don't know, I just feel like maybe I should or maybe I shouldn't. But, you know, there's so many – and I'm a veteran, so there's so many days on the calendar, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and a few others, that I think sometimes we, and I appreciate the love for it, don't get me wrong. I think some days, though, there are some days that we get confused as to the purpose, you know, like Memorial Day. It's not for veterans that survived as much as it is for those that paid the ultimate sacrifice and died fighting for this country or serving this country. And maybe I'm being a little bit grumpy about it. I don't know. But when I hear, hey, go thank a veteran on Memorial Day, I go, don't thank me. I'm still alive. We need to reflect and think about those that gave their life for this country. That's their day. Veterans Day is in November. That's the day for veterans, saluting all veterans, deceased or living. And I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking it, but I just, when I hear it, I go, I don't want it to get lost. I guess I don't want just any veteran to get, that's alive, that to get, you know, the notoriety when it's the recognition and reflection should be on those that gave their life for this country. The veterans have another day. All right, now that I got that off my chest, it's bothered me. I even said it to Mark Menard during the break. I was like, I don't know, I'm being a curmudgeon perhaps, maybe, but I just want the right recognition to be bestowed on the right people is ultimately how I feel about it. There you go. Now that I've gotten that off my chest, Mark's like, all right, are you going to continue or are you going to keep talking about sports? Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Mark, I mean, do you get that or do you think it can be all kind of lumped together?
No, it makes sense to me. It's called Memorial Day. And, you know, what are you memorializing? You're memorializing the people who gave their lives in service of this country. You said it, the veterans have their own day. It's a little bit later in the calendar year. So, no, I understand what you're saying. It makes total sense.
I'm not being too much of a curmudgeon or grumpy pants about it.
No, I don't think so. And I didn't serve. So you can have whatever opinion you want. I really don't have nearly the opinion on it that you do because I didn't serve this country. But it seems to me that you would be absolutely correct in what you just said.
All right. Phone lines are lighting up. I don't know if I said something that made somebody angry or who knows. But anyway.
Let's find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. You can celebrate it however you want. You can reflect on Memorial Day however you want. I'm just telling you how I choose to reflect, and that is ultimately I look at those that have fought and died serving this country, not so much the veterans that are walking around still alive. That their day is in November. Where would you trade Anthony Davis if you're the New Orleans Pelicans? Who can fetch you the best trade return? Matt in New Orleans. What's going on, Matt? You're on WWL. I'm sorry, you're in Metairie.
Thanks for having me on, Christian.
Sure.
No, I definitely agree with the previous caller with Boston. And like you said, you know, you got to get a proven guy that has made, you know, a substantial contribution to the league and, you know, with their team and shown some sort of, a valuable asset when you look at, you know, what you're going to get for him. Like you said, you don't want to get somebody that's unproven and may pan out, may not. But if I may go to, you know, I know that story released about Zion, you know, being snubbed by Anthony Davis and that whole thing. But I just think in general, I've never heard a story about Anthony Davis that's been positive. And I've spoken to a bunch of people, and, you know, I've got friends that, you know, he had a fashion show in the city and, you know, snubbed a bunch of people there. And I had a friend that went to walk-ons and they snubbed him there. And kids at the Mardi Gras parade one year, you know, walked right past him, and Boogie was the only one that stopped and acknowledged him. And then it just goes back to the fact of where, you know, he wears the That's All Folks shirt and then tells somebody, well, I don't pick my clothes. It's like, you know what, dude, if you're a jerk, just own it. Own that you're a jerk. You don't want to be here. We understand you're frustrated that, you know, nothing happened or anything. But at the same time, he's got to take some sort of responsibility. I mean, he has to be able to try to take over games, and it just seemed off more often than not. You'd see him just fade off in the background and just wait for somebody else to do it.
He's a Robin. He's not a Batman. Exactly. That's just the truth. And that's why he needs a Batman. That's why he wants to go to the Lakers, because LeBron is Batman. He could be Robin. Zion's the complete opposite. Everything that I understand about his personality, he's the alpha. He's the leader. He's the Batman. He needs a Robin.
But if he does – okay, let's just say – and I know there was reports out there saying that, you know, we wouldn't make a trade with the Lakers or whatever. But, okay, let's just say hypothetically we were to make a trade with the Lakers. We get all the pieces – and then it's basically just him and LeBron. So, I mean, and I understand they're going to try to get a max player or whatnot, but, I mean, in my opinion, that's more of a dysfunctional organization to go to. They're talking about Jeannie Buss and her friends running the whole organization and how bad that's going down. And I don't know. It seems to me, at the end of the day, obviously he's worn out his welcome. And, you know, it's more off this meeting is just to repair the relationship between Clutch Sports and obviously David Griffin. But just – at the end of the day, I just think that this would be the best situation for him, though I believe it more than likely won't happen.
Matt, I can't change, and I really won't criticize AD's personality. If he's an introvert, he's an introvert. You can't make him be an extrovert. If he doesn't like being around people, I know people are going to say, oh, well, that's the career field he chose. He's gonna be around fans. He's going to have fans. I get that, but if that's his personality to kind of be a recluse, I'm not going to criticize him for that. I ultimately care about how he behaves. I was critical of him, flipping off the fan and all that stuff. But if he wants to not do certain events or only do certain events at certain venues and allow only certain people to be there, I don't care about that. Even if he decides, hey, I'm not signing that autograph. By the way, great story. Zion Williamson was snubbed by Anthony Davis to sign an autograph when he was 16 years old. Zion Williamson saying that's why he always signs every autograph. I like that approach better. Dotsie in Metairie, what's going on, Dotsie? You're on WWL.
Hey, I love you. Okay.
Thank you.
My uncle disappeared in World War II. He's still MIA. Memorial Day is very painful for me. It's changed our whole life. You are a serious hero, and I love the fact I listen to you. Sometimes I hate sports. But you're masculine, okay? I love masculine guys.
Well, Dotsie, thank you very much. I'm blushing, by the way. And secondly, I don't know, if you asked Mark Menard or others, they would probably say I'm not so masculine, but nonetheless, no, I just said what I felt. I really did. I got a text here at 870-870. Says, the only station I ever listened to that employs a vet and makes sure to always remind their listeners. Seems a little phony and overblown to me. It's probably the only radio station down here in the Gulf South that has a veteran on the air. It's actually several veterans. Don Dubuque's on the air. He's a vet. I think I'm missing another. But Garland, when he was here, was a vet. excuse them, excuse me for being proud of what we accomplished. Anybody that's in the service, you went through it, you got an honorable discharge or retired, you should be proud of that. And you know what? The company that hires you should be proud of that as well. Get out of here with that overblown stuff. That's jealousy and envy personified right there. The idea that you would say that is really preposterous to me. I mean, I'm proud of my service. It's one of the hardest things I've ever done. And if you've never done it, it's hard for you to understand it. And it's okay if you haven't done it. It's not for everybody. Everybody doesn't have to do it. I did. I'm proud of it. Dotsie, thanks so much for the phone call and the compliments. Our CBS and local news headline.
Thanks for calling Christian masculine. He's going to be impossible to work with now. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. Head just got huge, right? No, I'm just kidding. Aaron Fitt, co-editor and national writer for D1Baseball.com, joins us next here on WWL. Has LSU baseball done enough to secure a regional host site? We'll find out in a few moments with Aaron Fitt, co-editor and national writer for D1Baseball.com. Currently, LSU 17 conference wins. Is it enough, though, for the selection committee to make them a host site? They're in action tomorrow against South Carolina in the SEC baseball tournament, looking for that 18th win. And if I'm not mistaken, there's only been one team that has had 18 conference wins that didn't host in an NCAA regional. Aaron Fitt joining us now, co-editor and national writer for D1Baseball.com. Aaron, bluntly, have the LSU Tigers done enough with 17 wins, or do they need a couple in Hoover this week?
I think they probably do need to win at least one, and maybe two, just because the RPI is not where a typical SEC host needs its RPI to be. You know, they're down at 21 right now, and I don't think we've had an SEC team outside the top 17 or so in the RPI host in a dozen years. So, you know, even with that good conference record, and you're right, I heard you saying, usually if you get to 18 wins in the SEC, you're kind of a slam dunk to host. But the same is true in the ACC. Usually if you're a 17 and 13 ACC team like Florida State is, you usually host. But they're at 50 in the RPI. They're not going to host. So, you know, there are exceptions every year. And in LSU's case, the thing that's dragged them down is just that road record. I think it's 7-13 in the road. And that's a big reason why their RPI is where it is, because those road games are weighted more heavily than home games.
Would a win over South Carolina that's 8-22 in the conference in an SEC baseball tournament really bump their RPI up that much, though?
Probably not. But once you get to that 18-win mark, it makes it a little bit more palatable, I guess, if you're sitting there at 20 in the RPI. I really think, you know, because there are other teams in this discussion that have flaws, that you don't necessarily need to be a top 16 team to get one of those 16 host spots. But certainly inside the top 20, you'd really like to see that happen.
Aaron Fitt, D1Baseball.com, co-editor and national writer, at Aaron Fitt on Twitter. Okay, so what happens if they were to go beat South Carolina, and then I believe they would be slated to play Mississippi State the following day, and they won on the road in Duty Noble Field against Mississippi State earlier in the year, took the series 2 out of 3 against State, and they win that one, and that's it. So you feel like if they got two wins, they would probably host a regional?
Yeah, they get two wins, you can take it to the bank, especially since the second one would be a marquee win against Mississippi State. And look, there's a lot to like about LSU's resume already. You know, I mean, we always look for those quality wins. We know the committee looks for those high-end wins. And, I mean, they're 19-14 against the top 50. That's really good. And if you compare that to a team like UC Santa Barbara, who is somehow still 13th in the RPI, and, you know, they've already won like 41 games or 42 games, but they haven't played a single top 50 opponent. So, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how the committee kind of reconciles that. They clearly place a lot of value on winning your conference championship. They place value on the RPI. And they also tend to give the West a little bit more leeway in the RPI because it's harder to build a nice RPI in the West for geographic reasons. So, you know, will they choose a team like Santa Barbara over a team like LSU when LSU has played, what, 33 more games against the top 50? I mean, it's kind of crazy, but it could happen.
Aaron, so let's say worst-case scenario. They get bounced by South Carolina tomorrow. It's not out of the realm of possibilities, considering it's the SEC tournament and crazy things happen. And on top of that, LSU's had some head-scratching losses this year to inferior talent. So what regional would they go to?
Well, that's a great question, and it's probably pretty wide open. I mean, there's not another obvious host in that region that is not in their conference. So, you know, you could really send them anywhere. In that case, you could send them out west. You could try to find some ACC team somewhere, you know, maybe a place like Miami or NC State. Those would be options. But there's not a real obvious, okay, well, you know, they're going to go to Hattiesburg or something. I mean, there's just no team like that nearby that's just kind of a slam dunk.
Aaron Fitt, D1Baseball.com, at Aaron Fitt on Twitter. He's the co-editor and national writer. And Aaron, so much was put on this LSU baseball team with lofty expectations that just come with the program, the high success that they've had, six national championships year in and year out. They're expected to be in Omaha, top eight national seed, whether it's realistic or not. They were touted as having the number one recruiting class and ranked in preseason polls as the number one team in the country. I'm sure a lot of that had to do with the talent coming in. And were injuries a big part as to why LSU perhaps didn't have the season that they were expected to have, or were they maybe overvalued?
Well, I think it's injuries, and it's also just a matter of, you know, sometimes those freshmen, especially on the mound, I mean, they develop in fits and starts, you know, and sometimes they're just studs the whole year, like Aaron Nola was and like JT Ginn was this year, but it doesn't always happen that way. And in this case, I mean, it's encouraging to see Landon Marceau now kind of finding his stride at the perfect time, because he was really one of the centerpieces of that class. And I still think that class, talent-wise, was not overvalued. I mean, you know, Marceau and Jaden Hill and, you know, Cole Henry, those guys, they have really bright futures. And I'm looking forward to seeing how they develop. And it's just a matter of will that all happen in the next month? You know, that's really the key to LSU's whole season here.
Aaron, what does their recruiting class look like for next season?
Boy, I hate to say it, but I haven't even really gotten into that yet. I kind of rely on our partners at Prep Baseball Report when it comes to the high schools.
Yeah, that's on me. I put you on the spot. I shouldn't have done that. I
no
apologize.
Worries. No, I'm sure it's a good class for LSU. It seems like they always recruit well.
Yeah, Aaron, would it at all surprise you, though, with LSU is up and down as they've been, would it at all surprise you if they're playing in the championship game on Sunday in Hoover?
I mean, it's LSU and it's the SEC tournament at the Hoover Met. I mean, of course, it wouldn't surprise me. They just, like every year they make runs there. I mean, I don't think any team has performed better at that tournament over the years, and that includes recent years. So, no, I mean, certainly the upside is there with this team. You know, we talked about the freshmen, but there's not a lot of teams that have four veteran guys who are as talented as those three outfielders, you know, Duplantis and Watson and Cabrera, and then, of course, Josh Smith. I mean, that's a great place to start your ball club right there. And, you know, they just need the supporting cast to do its part, and they need to pitch a little better than they have at times this year. It's been up and down, but I still think they have enough depth in the bullpen to cover the fact that the rotation isn't really, you know, it's not special. But I think now that you have Hess back in the bullpen, I think that's a perfect role for him. I think we're going to see him be dominant here for as long as LSU plays this year, whether it's, you know, in the SEC tournament and regionals or beyond. That guy's going to be a major difference maker, and I just like him at the back of that thing along with Peterson and those other guys that they have.
Aaron, play this game with me. Vanderbilt, Georgia, Arkansas, Mississippi State. Of those four, you can only pick one to win a national championship, to have the best shot at winning a national championship. Who is it?
Boy, that's a really hard question, and I tell you, I go back and forth on this question. But for me, it's Arkansas is fourth in that group because I just don't trust their starting pitching as much. They're just inexperienced in the rotation. I think Georgia has elite starting pitching, elite bullpen. I love their pitching and defense. I think it's a good formula to win in the postseason, obviously, and also the fact that, you know, they have veterans in the lineup. I mean, it's not a scary lineup, but they can, you know, grind out at bats. But I think Vanderbilt's the most explosive offense. Mississippi State's not far behind them. Vanderbilt has huge arms. Mississippi State probably has better strike throwers and also power arms. I might actually like Mississippi State the most as the most balanced club of that whole group.
I know that my next question is going to be contingent upon where LSU plays in a regional, whether they're hosting or whether they're on the road for a regional. But how far do you see LSU going? Do you see them advancing out of a regional? Certainly their odds are better if they're at home at the box and maybe going and winning a super regional on the road.
It could happen. I mean, like I said, they have the upside. They have certainly the talent to do that. But, you know, considering they're 7-13 in the road this year, you don't feel so great about their chances if they're not at home. Now, that said, they've had a couple of really difficult road series against elite teams in the league that have kind of skewed that road record a little bit. But nonetheless, I mean, I don't quite know if I'm there yet that this team is going to be a national title team like we thought it was in the preseason. You know, we had them preseason number two behind Vanderbilt. And they're not that. You know, I think that's clear. But could they get to Omaha? Sure. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. But it really will depend on the draw, I think. And, you know, and if they're at home for regionals, boy, that would go a long way toward getting them there.
Aaron, you cover this from a much broader perspective than I do in terms of college baseball as a whole. And have you ever seen a fan base that is so willing to fire a coach after going 17-13 in a conference as LSU fans or some of them are doing?
Oh boy, I can only imagine what the message boards are like. It's a scary place over there, I'll tell you. That guy has been one of the great coaches in college baseball for a long time, and they win every single year. And just look around the country and you realize how hard it is to be in the postseason every year. I mean, Texas finished in last place this year. You know, they were in Omaha last year. TCU was in Omaha four straight years. Now they're going to miss regionals for the second year in a row. I mean, Fullerton, they made 27 straight regionals. They're not going to get close this year. Miami went 44 years in a row. Now they missed, you know, then they missed 2 years in a row. Florida State's fighting for its life. I mean, these are perennial powers. It's hard to do what Palmieri has done at LSU. And I know they have a lot of resources and they have a ton of tradition and an incredible, you know, passionate fan base, but it's college baseball in 2019. It's not college baseball in 1999 or 1989. It's hard to do it year after year. And he gets into Omaha regularly. They have won a title. It's only a matter of time before they win another one. Anyone who wants to run that guy out of town needs to get their head checked.
Aaron, good stuff as always, man. Thank you.
All right, guys, you got it.
All right, Aaron Fitt, D1Baseball.com, at Aaron Fitt on Twitter. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Traquan Smith, Saints receiver. That's the kind of year he had. Right? Struggled at times. Had one big game. Was it mental? Was it the idea of him adjusting to the expansive playbook with the Saints? Or was it something else? He spoke today at the Saints Hall of Fame Golf Classic. Traquan Smith, second-year wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints. Will he be the guy to step up opposite of Mike Thomas on the outside at wide receiver? This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Well, an appearance from Todd Meneses in the control room. Mark Menard at Master Control. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. If you missed it, Lee Sartor, the former basketball coach for Spartanburg, where Zion Williamson played high school basketball, he was on the show earlier and said that Zion eventually will become the best player on the planet. Described him as a natural leader, selfless guy that loved by his teammates, wants his teammates to have success as well. It's online for you at WWL.com. Todd Walker, 12 years in Major League Baseball, played at LSU, SEC Network analyst. He'll join us next hour at 7:20. If you missed it, also Aaron Fitt, co-editor and national writer for D1Baseball.com, says LSU needs two wins in the SEC tournament this week in order to secure a top 16 seed and regional host site. Right now, not necessarily the case. It's 17 wins in the conference. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWLAMFM.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.